Good morning, Lilith, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started this morning with music by an unknown composer. That was the Lamento di Tristano, music that comes from a medieval manuscript, an Italian manuscript, which I believe is now in the British Museum. That manuscript is it features music that is primarily from, let me get this correctly, the 14th and 15th centuries, 13 and 1400s, if you to translate that. I always find dealing with centuries and talking about centuries and then translating it into actual years a little bit tricky, and it's further made confusing by the fact that Italians use a slightly different system. They refer to, for instance, the trecento. Tre means three. But in this case, it's substituting for tredici, 13th, and they mean by the 13th century, not the 1200s, but the 1300s. And so the trecento, quattrocento, cinquecento, etc., it carries on. Anyway, the piece we heard was called the Lamento di Tristano, or Lament of Tristan. Actually, it's a pair of dances. First the lament, and then a dance called a rota, about which I was not able to find out anything else. And then the lament returns, and the rota was the faster part there in the middle. That was a recording by the, I guess we'd have to call them Renaissance and Medieval Period Instrument Group. Their instruments probably, in most cases, do not date from medieval periods, but they are trying to play the music sort of in the way that it would have been played in the time it was written. That group, Hesperian 21, or Hesperian XXI, as they style themselves, and their leader is Jordi Savall, and we'll hear them in one more piece in a few minutes. Right now, though, it's time for weather and road reports. Yesterday's low, -8.9. The high made it up to -2.8, apparently, warmer than I thought. A little warmer this morning than yesterday. As of 7 a.m., we were sitting at -5 degrees. Environment Canada says cloudy today, and there will be flurries, apparently, beginning this morning, amounts of 2 centimeters. Wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour this morning, and apparently reaching a high of 0 today. Tonight, flurries ending late this evening, then cloudy, more snow, amounts of 2 centimeters again this evening, and a low tonight of -5. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, 40% chance of flurries late in the afternoon and in the evening, wind from the north at 20 kilometers per hour early in the evening, a high tomorrow of -3. Sunday, snow, looks like, well, they don't say how much, low of -6, a high of -5. And then as we move into next week, things change dramatically. We'll be getting a lot warmer. Monday, snow or rain, a low of -5, a high of +5. Tuesday, cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, a low of 6 and a high of 8. And that is as far as we will take it for now. So yeah, it's going to get a little whiter probably over the next few days, but then that will presumably get washed away as we get into the middle of next week. Or into the early parts of next week. That is if the forecast holds. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, it's kind of a mixed bag. Some pretty chilly temperatures in some spots, though. Let us start in Charlottetown, PEI, -3 degrees and mostly cloudy there. Montreal is partly cloudy and -8. Toronto, -3 degrees and partly cloudy. Iqaluit, very chilly, -34 degrees and ice crystals. Winnipeg, mostly cloudy and -18. In Saskatoon, it's -17 degrees with light snow. Yellowknife has light snow at -27. Edmonton is -16. Light snow there as well. Calgary has ice fog, -4 degrees. In Whitehorse, it's -11, and they have light snow as well. Prince George, mostly cloudy and -2. A little closer to home, Clinton, cloudy and -7. Hope, 0 degrees and cloudy, and there's a winter storm watch in effect for Hope, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Kamloops, mostly cloudy and -4. In Pemberton, it's -6, and they also have the winter storm watch in effect. And in Vancouver, it is +1 and mostly cloudy, and they too have the winter storm watch in effect. That storm watch in effect for much of the north, central, and south coast of BC, the lower mainland, Fraser Valley, and Howe Sound up to as far as Whistler. So it sounds like a fairly big deal. There is somebody new writing these weather alerts for Environment Canada, for Environment Canada, who has, I don't know if I'd call it a sense of humor, but definitely a sense of style in what they write. So the very first sentence of the alert, it's the same one for all these areas, says the first major winter storm of 2015 will beget a messy meteorological medley on the BC coast Saturday. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing. In fact, I'm doing this more for this to give you an idea of this style than because of the actual information here. It says on Saturday, a strengthening high-pressure system over Yukon will deepen the Arctic air in northern BC, then shove another dose of the frigid air south and west through the BC interior. And let's see, near the end... Sorry about that, folks. A sneeze hit, and I thought I better turn the microphone off for that. It says here, there was one particular sentence I wanted to find for you, but I can't dig it up now. But anyway, stay tuned for updates and a warning or two. It's going to be a busy few days at the weather office, and everyone will need to pay attention. That's interesting. They don't usually say things like that. Anyway, lots of dire warnings. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of snow in some areas. As I said, we will be getting some of that ourselves. Let's see. Let's turn to the highways. Pardon me. I'm still a little stuffed up from sneezing. Let's see, there are no notes of any significance for Highways 1 or 12. Highway 40 has compact snow between Lillooet and Goldbridge. Highway 99 South, slippery sections between Lillooet and Cane Creek Bridge. And on Highway 99 North, there are slippery sections and compact snow between Lillooet and the junction with Highway 97 north of Cache Creek. And that is it for the weather and roads. Let's go back to the music, Hesperion 21. The two selections we're hearing this morning are from an album called Orient and Occident, which I've played parts selections from before here on Snooze Button. The album alternates tracks that are of European, usually Mediterranean origin, Spain and Italy especially. Alternates them with tracks that are of Middle Eastern origin, Turkey, Persia, Afghanistan, I can't remember where else, a couple of North African spots as well. And all of it music from the 13th and 14th centuries. And it's really interesting to hear the similarities, but also the differences between the two styles. We're going to hear something from the Middle East now. This is music that is either from Afghanistan or from Persia, I think more likely Afghanistan. This is a piece called Mola Mama Jan, and I tried to find out what that means for you, and I wasn't able to. Apparently a very popular piece, as it is still performed today, and there are lots of recordings of it available on YouTube as a vocal number. Excuse me, we're going to hear a purely instrumental version of it. And there are a number of instruments involved in the group Hesperion 21 here that I can't identify for you. They would be Middle Eastern instruments. I know the oud makes an appearance on many of the recordings on this particular CD, and I would expect it probably is involved in this particular recording, but a number of others that I'm not familiar with. Anyway, I think it's a really fun piece, and I can see why it's still popular. It's something very catchy about it. Thank you. That was music by an unknown composer that dates from the 13th or 14th centuries, a piece called Mulla Mama Jan from somewhere most likely in Afghanistan. And we heard a recording by Hesperian 21 there with their director Yordi Saval. I know it's not really, strictly speaking, classical music, really fits more in the world category. The group Hesperian 21 have made quite a few classical recordings, and certainly their director Yordi Saval has as well. And some of the music on this piece, on this CD, as I mentioned, the pieces from European countries, Italy and Spain especially, is usually considered to be classical. So I don't feel odd about or wrong about putting it on, and besides, it's my show. I can put on the music that I want to. Okay, it's 8:19. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lullabet. When the snooze button wraps up, I will leave you with music from the Folk World Reggae playlist. Actually, some of that Hesperian 21 music is on the Folk World Reggae playlist. Later this afternoon, Democracy Now at 3 o'clock. Excuse me. I'm still kind of recovering from that sneeze a few minutes ago. Music from the country playlist after that, and then at 8 o'clock, it's Pleasure Beat with your host, Wendy Larman. More music from the country playlist after that. Don't forget, on Sundays, you can hear classical music starting around 5 a.m. in the morning. That runs 5 until 9, and then it's the Andrew Twisty Family Hour from 9 until 10. Fusion Cafe with your host, Jason McLeod, noon until 1, and then more jazz fusion music after that on Sundays. You can find all the details of the schedule on the website, radiolullabet.ca, mini shows in podcast form as well. Let's see, I told you a little bit on, what day was it? Wednesday, I think I told you a little about the Christmas bird count. Was it Wednesday? I can't remember. Anyway, one day this week, I told you about the Christmas bird count. The one thing I didn't mention was, the most populous species, that is to say, the species of which we recorded the most individuals for that day, was dark-eyed juncos. And that's not too surprising. They're a very familiar feeder bird if you have out bird feeders. And otherwise, if you're just walking around, you can often see them down on the ground underneath hedges and that sort of thing, searching for food. They're around in pretty large flocks at this time of year, but in the springtime they will start to move to higher elevations where they breed, not necessarily higher latitudes, just higher elevations, and then return again in the autumn. Sorry, trying to recover my voice here so that I can talk for a minute or two without interruption. Anyway, that was the most, as I say, the most populous species from the Christmas Bird Count Day. Anyway, once again, it was a really wonderful event. I don't know if the results have yet been posted online, but when they are, you'll be able to find them at the website for the Lillooet Naturalist Society, which is Lillooet Naturalist Society.org, I think. I better just check that to be absolutely certain. Yes, Lillooet Naturalist Society.org. Okay, let's carry on with the music, and we're going to turn now to Mozart and hear the slow movement from one of his piano trios. This is the piano trio in B flat major, Köchel 502, written when he was about 30 years old. One of his last five piano trios, which are considered to be really nearly perfect compositions. And one writer talking about this particular movement said the middle slow movement, quote, blossoms into music of such exquisite beauty that all words fall mute before its perfect grace. Remove any of the three instruments or even a single note and the entire structure would fall, end quote. Anyway, I think that sums it up very well. This is Mozart. I don't need to say a lot more about it. So here is Canada's Griffin Trio, one of the best piano trios in the world today. And they are Annalie Patipatanakun on violin, Roman Boris on cello, and Jamie Parker playing the piano. Roman Boris on... Yeah, okay, I got it right. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was music by Mozart. We've been listening to the second movement, Larghetto, that comes from his piano trio in B-flat major, Kerschel number 502, a recording there by Canada's Griffin Trio, Annalie Patti-Patanagoon on violin, Roman Boris on cello, and Jamie Parker playing the piano. And that music truly is sublime. It has that some of that sense of luminosity that I get in the works, particularly the late works of Beethoven and Schubert. Not quite as far in that direction as usual, as they go, but still tending that way. Okay, it's 8:32. Let's do some public service announcements. Let's see. There are loony skates today, still today and tomorrow. Today, 3:30 to 4:30 p.m., sponsored by Dr. Ian Routley. This evening, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., sponsored by Lillooet Secondary School. And then tomorrow, there are two skates, 3:30 to 4:30 p.m., sponsored by the Bridge River Valley Mechanical. And then 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., sponsored by the Lillooet Friendship Center. And that is it for the Looney Skates for this year. All skate rentals have been paid for to and through tomorrow, January the 3rd, by Blackcomb Aviation. Very generous donation on their part. Let's see if I have any, yes, reasonable order to this. If you are looking to get rid of your Christmas tree and you have removed all the decorations and tinsel from it, you must do that first. The Lillooet landfill is open today and on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. They are accepting all Christmas trees that are bare, had everything removed from them, accepting them during regular hours up until January the 11th at no charge. Coming to Lillooet Music's 2014-2015 concert season, the next concert in the series, the Wallach and Donnelly Duo. They will be performing Sunday, January the 11th at the Lillooet Masonic Hall at 7:30 p.m. They play piano and clarinet and feature a variety of music styles, but especially concentrate on classical and jazz. And let's see, tickets are $20 for adults if you get them in advance, $22 at the door, $5 for students, a season's pass. We won't do the season's pass there because at least one concert is already over. Tickets available from PharmaSave, Casey Health, and IDA. And finally, let's see. Oh, yes. Next general meeting of the Lillooet Canadian, of the Legion. I'm just reading things literally here and not thinking about them. That is January 13th at 7 p.m. And if you would like more information, get in touch with the Legion, 256-7332. They also have a website, www.lillooetlegion.ca. And the Lillooet Naturalist Society has its annual general meeting coming on Saturday, January the 17th. That will be from 2 to 3 p.m. in room 201 here at the Rec Center. New and renewing members are welcome. And if you'd like more information, go to the website, www.lillooetnaturalistsociety.org. And that's it for public service announcements. Okay, for most of the rest of the hour, we're going to turn things over to Giuseppe Verdi and hear some of his ballet music. He didn't write any independent ballets. All the ballet music he wrote is from ballets that take place within his operas. This is music that comes from the opera Don Carlos. This is an opera that he wrote for the Paris Opera in France. It was written exclusively for them initially. And in that form, it was known as Don Carlos, and it was written in French. Later, it was translated into Italian, and in Italian, it's known as Don Carlo. Now, the Paris Opera, now I believe that's known as the Opera Garnier, they had very specific requirements about their operas. Operas had to be in five acts, and they had to include a ballet, and the ballet had to be somewhere between the second and the fourth act. It was preferable in the third or fourth act. There were reasons for some of this, good reasons for some of it, bad reasons for some of it, very impractical economic reasons involved in some of it. Somebody really wasn't thinking about the best control of the money in coming up with these rules. But I'll explain the reasons at another date. We're not going to get into that now. But consequently, this opera by Verdi, plus several others that were performed at the Paris Opera, also have ballet music. Now, this is the only opera of Verdi's I can think of that he wrote specifically for France. France, but he did take a couple of his other operas, and they were had their librettos translated into French, and in some cases he kitted them out with essentially a new story, and bits and pieces of new music here and there, and then several of other of the operas were just given straight French translations and performed in Paris. But if they were performed at the Paris Opera, then he had to supply ballet music for them. So the ballet music, in many cases, was written much later than the operas concerned. Not in this case, the ballet music is contemporary with the actual composition of the opera. The ballet, I'm trying to remember which act it comes from, three or four of the opera. I don't think I've ever seen a production of it that includes the ballet. It's a the ballet has nothing to do with the story of the opera, except very, very marginally. The ballet is a celebration of a very famous pearl known as La Peregrina, and you may even be familiar with this jewel. It was originally found in the Gulf of Panama in the mid-16th century and transported to Spain and became part of the Spanish royal jewels. And then King Philip of Spain, who is one of the main characters of Don Carlo, at one point he was planning on marrying Mary Stuart, I believe. I'm not so good on my some of my British monarchs. Mary the First of England, anyway. He was going to marry her, and then those plans fell through. He had sent the jewel to her as a gift when the plans were still on, and then after her death, the jewel was actually returned to Spain and found its way through lots and lots of other hands, hence its name La Peregrina, meaning the wandering one. Finally, in 19, what was it, around 1967, somewhere around there, actor Richard Burton bought it for his wife, Elizabeth Taylor. This was a Valentine's Day gift he gave her during their first marriage. And believe it or not, this very famous jewel, teardrop-shaped pearl, it's he paid a purchase price of $37,000 for it. Hard to believe. Now, the last two times it's been sold, it was roughly in the $11 million region for its price. So, considerable inflation there. Anyway, as I say, no real connection with the opera except for the fact that one of the characters, as the opera is set in Spain, as I mentioned, Philip the Second is one of the characters, and also his wife, Elizabeth of Valois, and presumably at some point in particularly the original production of this opera, we would have seen Elizabeth of Valois wearing this very jewel, the Peregrina, except not the real one, a fake version of it, but as part of her costume. Anyway, I think I've talked about it enough. There's no particular story to the ballet. Presumably, it sort of, I don't know. I don't know what it represents. Like I say, I've never seen it, and I can't find a description of any particular action that's intended to be there. But it doesn't really matter because it doesn't, as I say, it doesn't move forward the plot of the opera at all. But it does have very attractive music, and Verdi was a really good composer for ballet, even if that's not the form that we normally associate with him with. Anyway, here is the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra, and the conductor is Sir Edward Downes. We've been listening to some ballet music by Giuseppe Verdi. We heard the ballet music that comes from the opera Don Carlos. Actually, on the. Anyway, sorry, it's printed wrong in one place. It says Don Carlo, but it's Don Carlos because the ballet music belongs to the French version, not the Italian version of the opera. Long story. That was a recording with the BBC Philharmonic, and the conductor was Sir Edward Downes. Just love the way that Verdi writes for the instrumental groups there. He always writes very bright and engaging music for the woodwinds and these rich, sonorous tunes for the brasses. Just works extremely well. It's 8:58. We're going to do a couple of encores. Just before we do that, one other bird thing I wanted to mention. This is not a local bird story. I'm not sure where this bird was photographed, but we've never recorded one in Lillooet anyway, and not surprisingly so, the northern cardinal. It's possible an individual could make it its way over here to BC, and they may have been recorded in BC before, but only in very small numbers. But the picture that caught my attention is found on the science page of the Huffington Post, and it's been featured in a number of other science blogs or on a number of other science blogs on the internet right now. You can probably find the picture fairly easily. It's a head-on picture looking at a northern cardinal, and this cardinal has what is known as bilateral gynandromorphism, meaning that literally one half of its body is male and one half of its body is female. And so the plumage on the bird goes with that. Male cardinals are obviously a bright red. Most people know that. The females are sort of a grayish tan color, and you see that on one half of the body as well, and it runs pretty much exactly right through the center line. Anyway, probably looking up bilateral and cardinal will, as search terms, will find you a picture of this bird, but it's quite fascinating. Okay, we're going to do actually two encores here. I've been listening to a fair number of the recordings, early recordings of violinist Jascha Heifetz recently, and so I thought we would listen to two more of these. These are recordings that date between 1925 and 1934. They're from the so-called electrical age of recording. That's the one that came after the acoustic age. In the acoustic age, that was when you had players or singers or whatever just playing into a horn, and the music was, or the sound waves were mechanically translated into waves that were then cut into a disc. By the electrical era, there was an element of amplification and microphone, kind of primitive microphone involved. So the sound quality is somewhat better, though it's still very, very dated. But I just love listening to, there's something very wonderful about that nostalgic quality that's evoked by those dated recordings that I really appreciate. So we're going to hear two pieces. First, we're going to hear the Hebrew Melody by Yosef Akron, a composer about whom I really know nothing except that he had a brother named Isidore Akron, who was Heifetz's accompanist in this recording and on a number of others. And then we're going to hear the Valse Bleuette by Italian composer and conductor Riccardo Drigo. He lived much of his, or spent much of his career in Russia, where he was particularly noted as a composer of operas and ballets and a conductor of operas and ballets. And in fact, Drigo was the, he conducted the premiere performance of The Nutcracker by Tchaikovsky and probably a lot of other major, major ballets of the era. So here are Jascha Heifetz and Isidore Akron from the early part of the 20th century, with music first by Josef Akron and then Riccardo Drigo.
Thank you.
Two encores there, performed by Yasha Heifetz. We heard got that information down. We heard first the Hebrew Melody by Yosef Akron with Isidore Akron playing the piano, the brother of the composer. Something very haunting about that piece. I've known it since I was sometime in my 20s when I owned these recordings on LP. And it's just always spoken to me in some way. Then we heard the Valse Bleuette by Ricardo Drigo, and that was also with Isidore Akron accompanying those recordings, as I said, from the latter 1920s or early 1930s. It is 9:09. That's going to be it for today's edition of Snooze Button. There is absolutely gorgeous sunshine streaming in the window of the studio here. Despite that fact, let's see, as of 9 a.m., the temperature at -5. Environment Canada says it's still going to be cloudy and we're going to have flurries happening this morning. They say we will have amounts of 2 centimeters, up to 2 centimeters of snow today, wind from the south at 20 kilometers per hour this morning, a high today of 0. Tonight, flurries ending late this evening and then cloudy, but still another 2 centimeters of snow, they say, and a low tonight of -5. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy, 40% chance of flurries late in the afternoon and in the evening. Wind from the north at 20 kilometers per hour early in the evening. A high tomorrow of -3. And since it's the weekend, I'll give you Sunday as well. Sunday snow with a low of -6, a high of -5. Don't despair. Warmer temperatures coming. Looks like once we get to Monday of next week, we're going to be getting back up into positive territory. Okay, that's it for me. I think I forgot to say Happy New Year to everybody, so belatedly Happy New Year. And now I will wish you also a happy weekend, and particularly hope that if you found yourself running short on sleep during the holiday period, do try to take this last opportunity to catch up. And I guess one other thing we can be pleased about is that the amount of sunshine we're going to be seeing, or the length of the days, we're going to start noticing that increasing. It's going to take us another couple of weeks till we get there, but then we will start to notice. All right, thanks very much for listening. Hope everybody has themselves a great day and a wonderful weekend. Stay tuned for music from the Folk World Reggae playlist.